Gravitas Impact offers a global community of the world's top business coaches. We strive to empower our coaches and clients alike to achieve their extraordinary goals. Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to the Gravitas Impact Podcast. Our guest speaker today is Michelle Lavalle, Gravitas Impact alumni and top grading champion. Michelle has conducted over 1,000 top grading interviews across multiple industries worldwide. Today, she's sharing the top 6 ways in which to increase your chances of hiring an A player and decrease the risk of hiring other candidates. During this top grading overview, Michelle will review best practices that include conducting quarterly talent reviews, using job scorecards, recognizing A player patterns, spotting BC player red flag patterns, recruiting from A player networks, and using tandem interviews to increase your hiring success by 25%. Thank you for joining us.
So I like to begin here with just a reminder about where the practices come from. I'm sure folks, our audience today are very aware of both top grading and Who. Who by Jeff Smart is very much the simpler read. The top grading book, the third edition, is kind of the Bible or the big book. But I like both. They're both fantastic. If you've got new clients out there that do have people as a challenge in their strategic planning, for sure, I recommend Who. It's just a great place to get started. And I think most of us also know, but just a brief reminder that Jeff and Brad Smart created Top Grading some, gosh, now I think it's 35 plus years ago, after literally thousands upon thousands of companies consulted, over 65,000 case studies done. And it's one of the reasons why I enjoy Top Grading so much today, because these guys came up with something so amazingly accurate all these years past, and all of the tools and the processes that they focus on hold true to this day. All right, quick reminder on definitions. When we think about an A player, we're very simply talking about a high performer or someone that has potential to become a high performer or an A player within 6 to 12 months. Okay, and B are those folks that are struggling. They might have disappointing results. It might just be as simple as a learning curve. They were recently promoted. They need more time. They need more coaching. They need more feedback. But C players or C performers are those that are really not fit either for culture or the productivity that you need in the company. So another way to look at this is to think about the quadrant, which I'm sure many of us are familiar with. You know, on the one hand, you need to have folks that are living your values, they get the culture, they embrace the culture. And on the other hand, you need to have results and productivity. So we clearly want both. But as an operational gal, I've always been in operations, was formerly a COO, and prior to that, was with Microsoft for 8 years, looking after Asia Pacific customer service and tech support. So I was always familiar with all kinds of KPIs. But this quote from Peter Drucker really woke me up when I first got into top grading years back. And that is that the toughest decisions in organizations are all about people, who we hire, who we promote, who we transfer, who we might need to let go. All these decisions are the hardest to unmake. They're so painful to undo, not to mention expensive. And yet they receive the least amount of attention in the organization. It's crazy. So think about this as a starting point for everything else we talk about today. We have KPIs for everything. You know, we've got critical numbers. We've got quarterly priorities. We've got rocks. But we need to be sure that executives and leaders are paying attention to their people decisions and putting measurement around that so that we can make progress along the way. So worldwide conclusions, when you're not using top grading, traditional hiring methods out there, they average 25% A's, 50% B's, and 25% C players. Now, I've personally experienced this in my former company. I see it today. Every time I'm working with clients, it's almost to the decimal point, this breakdown. If you've got 100 people, especially if you're an entrepreneur, if you're starting up, scaling up, the chances are very good that in that 100 people, you're going to have 25 A's, 50 B's, and 25 C's. So it's a real struggle, if you can imagine, and we all appreciate, if 75% of the company is not quite getting it. You know, they're really struggling. They're not able to deliver. Time is wasted. Money is wasted. It's exhausting and stressful. So the good news is there's a much better way, but this is what folks will typically average out there. What we're after, as you probably know, is 75 to 90% success rate in hiring, managing, and promoting. So By the way, everything we discuss here today also applies to internal promotions. That's something that is sometimes missed when we think about top grading. But clearly, if you've got 75 to 90% A's, you're going to perform better, make more money, have great reputations in the market. But my personal favorite, you know, as a COO and as a, you know, an organizational decision maker, I want to experience less strain, less pain and stress. That's my favorite. Because if you've got people problems or just business problems coming to you day in, day out, and you're not able to delegate and get more help, it's just not necessary. There's a better way to grow. So with that little setup, I want to switch gears and go into some of the top six things that I like to share that can help yours or your clients' success when hiring, promoting the right people. And the first one relates back to what we covered with Peter Drucker, and that's measure. Start measuring, you know, and there's lots of different ways to do this, but we call this a talent review. Once a quarter, sitting down quietly in a reflective fashion, you know, very much confidentially, and reflecting on who are my A's, my PAs, my B's, and my C's. Thinking about who, knowing what I know today, would I enthusiastically rehire? And who might I have some question marks around? You know, are they in the right job at the right time? Is there another job that they might be able to do and become an A player? But you want to make a simple action plan that includes who do I need to make sure that I'm supporting and ensuring that they don't leave? You know, I like to call this wrapping your arms around your A players and taking your best care of them, especially in tough markets and hot markets out there. Who needs some coaching, you know, to get into that A player space within the next 6 to 12 months? And who might need to move to a different role or, in fact, move out of the organization to be happier and more successful somewhere else? This kind of simple exercise will help you and your client figure out what positions might be coming up. What are the priorities that we need to be looking at? And I tend to keep this in a spreadsheet so that you can have left to right name, title, department, how long they've been with the company, what is their rating, A, B, or C, knowing what you know about them today. Would you enthusiastically rehire? Are they a fit for the role? Are they a fit for culture? So there's all kinds of stuff that you can put in this sheet, but the key is to review people quarterly and make sure that you're getting your measurements so that you can hold each other, your other leaders and managers, accountable to make progress from one quarter to the next. So once you have a talent review, the second tool, and I'm just keeping an eye on time here, is what we call a job scorecard. A job scorecard allows you to capture actual objectives and expectations as well as competencies. There is no way to successfully assess a candidate, keyword successfully, without a job scorecard. Otherwise, we're back to kind of voodoo hiring where there's no job description, we're not doing proper interviews, we're not doing proper reference checks. So we really need a document that captures the mission for the role in simple language, 5 to 7 key accountabilities that are measurable. You can call these KPIs, you can call them SMART objectives, but you think about this, if nothing else happens on the job, what actually must happen in order to be considered an A player in the role? So the next quick one, I won't spend a lot of time on this one, but it is so critical, and that's the ability for people to recruit through their A player networks. This problem comes up a lot, and that's the talent pipeline. We don't know how to find people. We don't know where they are. Our postings are not working. We're not having great results with recruiters. And much like the commitment to make time for those quarterly talent reviews, once you can get your clients to make a commitment around discussing and measuring their recruiting activities through networks, you will be amazed at how things change. It is incredible. It's another one of those things that I love about top grading because it just works. And what we're talking about here is having your put a placeholder in the calendar once a week, at least once a month, and look at how we're doing to get the referrals improving for the company. So then the big magic wand inside of top grading is conducting a great interview. There's a screening interview that lasts on the average 30 to 60 minutes, even for mid-managers. Often 60 to 90 minutes is more than enough to do even a very senior level executive. And by the way, the screening interview questions and the top grading interview questions, they're all going to be in either the top grading book or the WHO book. So check those resources out there. But your screening interview is your first chance to determine fit for culture and role, especially that screening interview. If you're conducting it, you should leave that interview excited. If you're not, do not go to the next step. If you leave a screening interview and you're bored, depressed, anxious, exhausted, that's not a good sign. So you can just conclude on a positive note. Thank your candidate, you know, later, before, at the end of the call, of course, but you can let them know your decision later. You don't need to let them know a decision and should not on the spot, out of courtesy, but keep an eye on how you're feeling at the end of these interviews. Once we collect all kind of data, we've got all kinds of, you know, examples and information, but we always want to go back to our gut, because if we have any doubt, 99% chance that we should not be hiring. Once you've done the screening interview, then we do a proper structured or chronological top grading interview. Some folks call this a deep dive. There's lots of different ways that we can capture this type of interview, but we are literally walking step by step by step through the work experience. And there's plenty of flexibility in the time spent and how many years you review, depending on your candidate. But I, you know, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to really bring this up is often folks will say, oh, top grading, that means we have to interview people for 7 hours. And that's not the case at all. I spend most of my time interviewing mid to very senior level executives and managers. You'd be amazed at how much you can learn in just an hour. Just briefly, you know, the typical or traditional interview questions that we want to get rid of and away from are hypothetical. How do you demonstrate? How would you handle? What are your strengths and weaknesses? They're behavior-based or hypothetical. They're, what would you do if? Tell me about a time when. Still nice questions, but they're not getting us to the real work experience or the real information that's going to allow us to confirm a cultural fit. So we're positioning questions in a way that allows us to get real factual information, not leaving a question until you can clearly articulate what was the accomplishment, you know, what was the strength about, what was the challenge, you know, who, what, when, where, why, how long, how fast, how slow, so that you can then go back and rate accurately. When you're interviewing, some of the red flags, and again, this is a lot from the WHO book, that you really need to be careful of is a candidate that's consistently making destructive comments about others, negative, blaming others, making excuses. You know, often we call this throwing people under the bus, or you can hear or experience in the interview that there's an excessive need to be me, which is kind of an ego problem. They come off as, you know, condescending or arrogant. So pay attention to that, because that's a major red flag. If they're not very engaging or not very interested or easily deflated during the interview, that's also something to be mindful of. And then finally, if the conversation is difficult, if you're struggling to get good information, pay attention to that, because with A players, these interviews should be pretty darn easy. And the time goes by quickly. You're able to get all kinds of data. It's a joy to interview A players. So I just wanted to throw those out there. And finally, having a tandem partner when you're top grading is just, makes it all so much easier. And just by having a partner sit with them and or be on the phone with them to help them conduct the interviews, guaranteed their hiring success will improve from 25% to 50% immediately. Having a partner help you ask the questions, stay friendly, dig deep for facts, take lots of notes. It's just amazing. So this is what we've covered today. You know, measure your hiring and promotion success, that talent review, get your job scorecards out there, how they recruit through their A player network, how they measure it. Tandem interviewing will boost their success by 25% overnight. Watch out for red flags, and then use those minimal competencies we looked at to not only assess external talent, but to also help your clients with anyone that might be struggling in the company today.
For more valuable content and actionable resources, visit www.gravitasimpact.com.